It's the Puppet Parent Podcast, episode 45, April Showers. In this episode, we'll talk about teaching our kids about choking, Z going back to New York City to build bunk beds, and New York City theaters reopening at 33% capacity. It's all coming up next on the Puppet Parent Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen.
Boys and girls.
People of all shapes and sizes and ages.
And backgrounds.
Yeah, this is a clean podcast. It could be any age at all. We are the Puppet Parent Podcast.
My name is Z.
My name is Chad.
We are puppeteers.
We're parents.
And we have a podcast.
See, man, how can we stop doing this podcast? Because we're so good at like the chemistry. And
we have an intro.
Yeah. And that was like, it's been like a couple weeks and it was just off the cuff. Boom. So we're just talking about things that we shared. So today we were eating some of your delicious crepes. This lady can crepe. Oh yes, delicious Nutella crepes with bananas and strawberries. Mm-hmm. How do you like your crepes, everybody?
Oh yes, are you a sweet crepe or a savory crepe person?
I never understood that word savory.
Well, it means not sweet.
Yeah. Okay. All right, I get it.
Now you understand.
So sweet. Not sweet. Got it. So they're like two halves, like the yin and yang. Mm-hmm. One of the yin and yang symbols I want to eat.
Yeah, and the other one I want to eat.
So pasta is savory.
Mm. Yes. Right? Yes, unless you do like with the pasta maker and make chocolate pasta like Ronpopil. I'm just saying that was a thing with the pasta maker infomercial. Anybody else obsessed with infomercials when they were a child? No, just me, only child. Okay. Let's move on.
Chocolate pasta?
It was a thing at the end of the infomercial.
That's so weird. No, I mean,
back me up here in chat.
I mean, I was also obsessed with infomercials. You know, as a kid, I used to watch, we have watched the same infomercials as children growing up.
Even though
I was stunted with only three channels from which to get my entertainment growing up in the mountains. But we watched the same the knife that can saw through a hammer,
the Ginsu knife,
and then straight to tomatoes.
Yes,
just get it, that hammer, just dust all over your tomatoes. That's part of it. Yep, just get some iron.
Yeah,
your diet.
Yeah, aluminum. Isn't that one of the elements that you need?
No, actually, it is an element. No, you don't need it in your body. No, but we're all breathing plastic at this moment, so we're gonna find out. It's the human body and the world can take some of that.
I don't know. But anyway, I made crepes this morning for breakfast.
Yes. And we had a fascinating discussion with our children about the Heimlich maneuver.
Oh, yes.
Because I forget how it came up, but one of them
our older son was talking about how he always inhales the powdered sugar until he's like coughing and he's choking on powdered sugar. And I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Like, isn't once enough? Didn't you learn your lesson? No.
Oh, guess what? There it is.
Oh, you weren't recording.
That's okay.
After all that.
Yep. After cool. all, I thought I was going to, but it's okay. I can just, you know, I can just download this.
All right.
It's all fine. It's all fine. Extra work for me. I pay the price.
He gives me this look of, uh-oh. It's like, oh no.
Yeah, but the great thing is that like if you were talented and you were in the booth, I would just do that on sly behind the scenes and you would never know.
Oh.
You'd be like, why is he sweating over there?
Talent.
Why is he like doing like one of these where he's moving around really quick and like looking around like something's wrong? No.
And then pop your head up and smile.
Everything's fine. That's right. Oh, God. Yeah. So anyway, so we talked about choking. We talked to our kids about choking.
That was during the crepes breakfast this morning.
Yes.
Let's see. What else
happened? Well, I mean, there was a lot that...
A lot has happened lot since the last...
But wait a second. I don't want to jettison choking. Let's talk about... We talked about our kids about choking. And
okay.
We have talked to our kids about choking many times. Many times. Because it's something that we're always, I feel like, telling our youngest son who takes these huge amounts of food and... sticks it into his mouth and then pushes harder.
They love to have their cheeks full of food and then deal with it. Like it's like a fun thing for them. I think they like the sensory input or something of like feeling like, I don't know.
So I don't know why they don't listen, but they just don't listen. And every time we're like, you're going to choke. And sometimes I would, if I was you know, not feeling great, I would be like, I don't feel like saving your life today. Come on, don't do it. Don't do it, because I know the next step. We know the next step is if they start looking like they're choking, like, oh man, I have to get up. I got to walk over to where you are. I got to give you the Heimlich and or, you know, smack you on the back.
But that depending hasn't on how happened. Your age. None of those things have happened.
Nothing like that. No, but every time I think about it, I'm like, oh man, all right, next steps. It's just like the nightmare scenario plays out in your head because you're a parent and you care. So we talked to them about the Heimlich maneuver. You gave them like the detailed history of Mr. Heimlich.
A little bit, because mm-hmm. I listened to, I think it was a Radiolab episode about the Heimlich maneuver.
Right.
It was fascinating, because what I hadn't realized is that people used to die a lot from choking, mm-hmm. and that it was like a common fear to be in a restaurant and to choke to death in the restaurant. And yes. like there was, you know, definitely New York Times articles and obituaries of people who choked to death on their chicken, you know, or something like that. And then like, you know, what I mean, it's like a thing that happened regularly. And so people were in fear of it until Mr. Heimlich developed mm-hmm. his maneuver. And right. then, and now we invoke him and his name and help people.
That's right. We shall not take the name of Heimlich in vain, because he saved so many people's lives.
Yes. And maybe there's more like to that story and more to that podcast. And I actually don't really remember mm-hmm. much else from it, because it was a while ago. But it was interesting. So you should look it up. Or maybe we should include a link in the show notes or yeah. something. Do we do that? Do
no.
we do show notes? Well, no. if we did do show notes, if it wasn't a puppet parent podcast and just like a puppet podcast, we probably would have time to do things like show notes. But the parent part makes it not possible.
See, if we were a regular puppet podcast, that we all the show notes would be our website, guest speaker's website. Here's the new thing that you can like support them in buying.
Here's the funny vintage thing that we talked about from our childhood.
Yes.
Link.
Yes. And here is our spouse's secondary business that you can support us by supporting him or her.
And we love all those other podcasts. We love all of them yes. because it's awesome. I love hearing interviews from fellow puppeteers. You guys are just tuning in to basically hear how we're doing. And we appreciate you so much for that. And I hope that there's some, you know, value to what we're saying to you, and that some of it is relatable. Maybe you had crepes. I don't know.
Maybe you too have talked to your kids about how choking. And I was like, okay, so your lungs, right? And I was trying to explain to our now 8-year-old, like what lungs do and how they're important and how, yes, there are like little like helpers in your lungs that if you get like water or something down in your lungs that they help to like get it out. But ultimately, you should always go by the rule of if you breathe something into your lungs, like something that's not air, it's going to stay there, right? Because we know many puppeteers, right? Or many people who are very afraid of the things that they used to work with.
Yeah,
that turn out to be toxic and horrible and terrible.
Yes. I think that the people are taking more precautions now, and that there's a higher level of concern as far as like chemicals and safety measures and things like that. But when you're younger and you're just getting into things, it always feels like whatever, and you're still invincible. And then you get older and you realize, oh, well, I was working with that substance for a long time. And
yes.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Even if it doesn't seem like, oh, you know, asbestos, you know, or barge, or what are the other offenders? Plastic wood, mm-hmm. I think, is one
of
them.
Well, plastic wood itself isn't so bad, except that it's made with acetone. And so you're doing, like, something that has acetone in it.
Mm-hmm.
Celastic, used to dip it into acetone. You work with a whole vat of acetone.
I'm trying to think of baby powder. Right?
Oh, talc.
Talc.
Yeah, for, like, a smoke effect. Mm-hmm. You know, like, effect.
Right, but then if you're a puppeteer and you have the puppets over you and they have the smoke effect happening over you like every single show, then it's just gonna go right down into your nose holes.
Yeah,
I feel like there should be a book. There should be a book like the ABCs of puppet death, because we just talked about Edward Gorey's The ABCs of Death.
Well, I was trying to explain it to our kids' screen teacher. Their virtual school teacher is originally from Ireland. And so sometimes things that I think are like everybody knows about. She doesn't have as much familiar with, but then it turned out that neither did my in-laws. They also did not know who Edward Gorey was.
They're not cool.
So
they're not cool.
Well, it made me feel like maybe not that many people. I thought it was kind of like a universal thing, like Shel Silverstein, Jack Prolutsky, I think is how you say his name, and Edward Gorey, like, you know, but no, I don't actually think that they're all clumped into this.
No.
Same category. It's just filed in the same place in my brain.
The last generation, the boomer, baby boomer generation, was way more conservative, I feel, on the whole, with things that they give their children. Like, nowadays, you might see, like, somebody be like, oh, yeah, look, in our children's library, it's the ABCs of death, right? You know, I read it with my kid. It's funny, you know? But, no, you wouldn't get that in the 80s. Like, it'd be like a weepy tragedy, like, looking through all these horrible things that happened to children, right, in this terrible book by Edward Gorey. Who is that? I'm going to write my senator about that person.
Oh, I don't know. I don't even think I knew about Edward Gorey till I was older, though, maybe. Yeah. And then it was more about his art style, but I thought he was cool. So anyway, we should talk about how the last few weeks have been going and what's happening with us, because people are probably wondering, you know.
Right. Well, we've been saying on this podcast, okay, June 1st, back in New York City.
Yes, so that's going to happen. I have had one of two vaccines, and I'm getting my second dose of the Pfizer vaccine.
I didn't think you got Moderna.
No, I got Pfizer.
So we both Pfizered up.
Yes. On Tuesday, I'm getting my second dose, 420. And
April 20th, you're getting a shot of Pfizer.
Yep, this arm right here.
Yeah, and you're going to celebrate a little bit.
Yes, by going home and not doing anything.
Yeah, I mean, I celebrated I celebrated with some fast food on the road. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to a terrible fast food place and treat the workers there humanely and nicely and be an overall nice person and then leave and eat that on the 3.5-hour drive back home.
Maybe I'll do something like that, but probably not fast food, because I've been on a little bit of a journey to get more in shape. So, because I want to come back to New York and feel like really rocking. So
it shows. You look slim and trim. You're looking
good.
You
can't see it in the podcast, people. But
you kind of see on your face a little bit.
Maybe a little in my face. Yep. But there's a cat behind us who's getting into some stuff.
In.
No, just leave her alone. Don't look behind the curtain.
She's got into the mailers.
It's fine. It's fine.
Oh, man.
Don't look behind the curtain. So anyway, second dose. And Chad's already had his two doses. Mm-hmm. And then in May, you and the boys and your parents are going to go on like a little week-long vacation, and I'm going to New York City and I'm going to redo the boys' room, and it's like a big undertaking and I need to kind of get some things in motion, but they're getting bunk beds, new beds, because they're a year older, and we needed bunk beds when we left. Listen, the place is so small. It's actually way easier to do this kind of thing without them there, because there's really no place to hide. And the whole room basically has to get dismantled. Everything has to get brought out in order for the beds to get built in the room and then put up and then mattresses added. And it's like a whole to-do. So you guys get to have a vacation. I get to be in the apartment by myself for a few days, and hopefully I'll have a couple friends help me.
But this is what she chose and what she prefers, and it also makes rational sense.
I just wanted it to get done. Yeah. It felt like the best choice in the long run for everybody's sanity, so that we would arrive. So distracted.
Love
so
it.
That we
I love
would
it.
Arrive and with everybody in tow, and we would have our stuff like kind of together, and at least the boys' stuff will be all together. And I promised the boys to take video and pictures of the room before I touch it,
right,
so that they can remember. I might even remember in Full House when Uncle Jesse took over Stephanie's old room, her baby room.
Yes.
And then he kept the a picture of the wallpaper, the bunny wallpaper, framed on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I almost think maybe we'll make a picture of their old room and hang it up or something. So anyway, I remember, you know what, my puppet family in Vermont, the Basses, Inez and Eric, they had a picture of their old stove before they got a new stove. Oh, yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. So it's like a little tribute to the old stove.
It's like whatever works for you. You know, everybody needs something to process mourning. Hold on. You know, when you move on to the next thing, like sometimes you just need to make a deal with yourself or make a deal with your kids. And usually the deal for us has been like, whether it's in the toy aisle or like this, like changing up the room completely. It's like, okay, we're going to take a picture. That's what it's always been. It's like, all right, we just walked into the toy store and I know you're really in love with the first thing you saw, but hold on a second. We're going to take a picture, right? And then we'll take a picture of everything you like. And then eventually, once we've gone through the whole store, then we will look at the pictures and you'll make an executive decision. You know, and that really helped when they were super young, you know, and it still kind of helps. I think that they're more self-guiding towards that now that they're, going to be 6 and 8.
Well, I, you know what I'm going to end up needing is about 1, 2, 3, make 5 or 6 friends to let me deliver furniture to their house so that I can pick it up. Because what I want is for everything to be in the city by the time I get there, so I don't have to worry about shipping issues. And then I will drive around to each person's house. I'll pick up the bunk bed frame, bring it up 3 flights of stairs, hopefully with a friend that I'm going to coordinate with, and then put the bunk bed together. This is after I've taken the 2 beds, the mattresses, and the IKEA shelf down and out, and everything is out of their room.
It's going to take way longer than you think. Well, so first you got to drive there. You got to drive all the way from Buffalo to New York City.
Yep.
And then rest.
Well, I have to empty the car because I'm going to bring home a carload of stuff.
Yes.
So I have to empty the car. So bring all that stuff up 3 flights of stairs by myself. Then I'll probably rest. And then the next morning, go start and get stuff, bring it up the stairs, start getting things out, putting things together. It is going to be a big project, but I think I can do it over the course of about 3 days. I think I can. And then come back here.
Yeah.
So.
You got this.
Whoop, whoop.
You got a week.
Well, kind of. There's also a board meeting that week as well. Hmm. So, yeah.
That's
so
a lot.
I think I'm going to leave for my job. I work for a foundation. So it's a nonprofit. They have board meetings twice a year. And the board meeting for the spring happens to be that Tuesday. So I think I'll leave after the board meeting.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Like Wednesday.
I mean, you could take longer than a week if you needed. So it's all good.
Yeah, I guess I could. I just have to figure out like who's taking care of the cat. So I have to figure that out.
Yes, because we can't take the cat with us. So usually,
and I have to get the internet set up again at the apartment. Like there's all these things. It's, you know, like wah, wah, wah. It's really actually not that big of a deal. But it is stuff that has to get done. And so it's a little like in my brain because it's a lot of things. But if it can all come together, then it will be really nice to have all complete by the time we get back at the end of May.
Yeah.
So it's going to kind of maybe be a little bit like one of those home shows that your mom watches where the family comes back and they open the door to that one.
Yeah, hold on. I gotcha.
Chad's being called to service. Dad duty.
Go.
How about your puppeteers in the city helping you unload? Asked Tad. Well, actually, we no longer have any puppeteers working for us right now because we had to let them go. And a couple of them have moved. At least one of them has definitely moved out of the city. And then the other two, they don't live close by in Astoria. But I am a member of a babysitting co-op and I have a lot of really good friends in the area. So hopefully somebody who wants a good workout that day can come on over and I'll pay them in seamless points or something. So
seamless. I'm like, oh, what crypto is that?
Oh,
seamless.
No,
there's
no.
So many cryptos now.
No, it's not. It's not Dogecoin or whatever.
Yeah.
So CryptoKitty
There's so many cryptos, and they're all a scam. All of them. It's
you know
all
what?
A pyramid scheme.
I was almost thinking the other day, should I actually learn about this? And then I was like, oh my God, what?
No, I mean, like, you know, we learned about it 20 years ago when Bitcoin was first starting. That's when we could have started in, but I didn't have a powerful enough computer
to mine.
And I had a Mac.
Yeah.
So all the programs that you have to use in order to mine those Bitcoins, whatever those processes amounted to, who knows what those processes were doing? Probably nothing good. Yeah. And I decided at the time, no. I'm also the person who threw out a $300 million lottery ticket.
I feel like it's
the same kind of thing.
Well, whatever.
It's like you buy into a dream, you know, and I'll save all those lottery dollars in my pocket and I'll spend them on frivolous things. But I'll know at least I'll have those frivolous things. It's like,
I don't think you actually threw out a whatever million lottery ticket, but
it makes for a good story. Anywho, so, I'm really looking forward. So we're going to the beach, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, because my parents have been vaccinated. I will have been vaccinated. My family is like fastly getting vaccinated. It's great. I feel like the last one is my sister, just because she lives in Florida and Florida's like, you know, behind. But even she has an appointment, which is great. So yeah, over here in the, thank you, over here in the US of A, if there's one thing we can do right, it's get vaccinated. I feel like we're going to reach a point where we will need to vaccinate our citizens more, and there will be the holdouts, and we'll have to convince them a little bit more than, you know, like, hopefully then like, you know, like push them a little bit. Come on, get over to the pharmacy. They're waiting for you. Come on, there's so many vaccines just like rare to go, but for right now it's like the future looks bright and hopeful, and I'm hoping on that herd immunity, man.
I know. I'm like excited and nervous about going back, so we'll see. I mean it's just a big transition for us and for our family to go back to our life back there, and it will be summer, which is like a different flow for us than school. So it still won't be like normal until the fall. And then we'll see what the schedule for the fall is. I don't even know yet. I mean, in terms of like what my work schedule is going to be like, how busy you're going to be. And what others need from us. So,
we'll see. In terms of like our little puppet company, our calendar would go in like 3 month chunks, almost like the seasons, and then we would have a break. And when we were working a lot, it felt like, oh man, sometimes it'd feel like, oh man, I can't wait to the next break. But the next break was only ever like 3 months away. So in the summertime, we would always have a crazy June, and then a laid back July. And then August, it would start ramping up again. And then, like, everything would come to a head at October. Then it would lay off for November, right? So have a little break. Then December, crazy again. January. And then would start to, like, ramp up to Purim and Easter and, like, all. So I feel like we would, like, hit this waveform, like, this hilly waveform of just, like, these cycles of, like, ebb and flow. And right now, we're, like, an ebb. More, it's like if you looked at like how many shows we're doing, it's like one of those doctor shows where everybody's focused on the machine that goes ping, and it's like bzz, bip, bzz, bip, you know, like that, like, oh, we got a show, hey, you know, or like, oh, this week we have like a couple things going on, awesome, great.
And I just feel like I've been consistently busy this entire time because I know that isn't me being like toot toot, it's more me being like, I'm looking forward to a break.
Yes.
Because I don't feel like I've really had much of a break. Mm-hmm. But it's been good, and it's been a lot of good things. But I almost kind of feel like while this trip to New York City alone will be a lot of work, it will also kind of be a break from everything I've been doing every day. So it'll be something different, which will be nice, I think. Hopefully, yeah. Energizing.
have you ever had a full week away from the kids? I'm struggling to think.
Yeah, I went to France.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was the longest I'd been away from them.
And that was 2019.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, you're going to be there with them and the parents, and they're going to be busy every day swimming and having a great time. And I know that it's the thing that makes the most sense. So, and also it'll be just nice to have like some alone time. So, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's what's been going on in our lives. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Yeah. Yeah. Rebecca is saying it's the same way with her when she does a show. Yeah, absolutely. It's all about ebbs and flows, man. And it's funny, like, I've done a lot of shows, right? I'm a professional, like a lot of professional puppeteers out there. When I do a show, if I've done a bunch of shows before, like I don't feel nervous at all. When it's been a while before I've done a performance, and it's like, even if I've done it 1,000 times, I'm just like, I get nervous days in advance. Just like the anxiety of just like, oh my God,
I know.
Is it going to be okay? And then as soon as the show starts, it's like, oh, okay, right. Yeah, I like this. And I'm good at it. You know, all those feelings come back, you know, the feelings of like, am I good enough? Do I actually like this? You know, is the audience going to be pleased? You know, all that like, you know, fades away.
Yeah.
Just like melts off. I'm like, ah, yes, I remember this. This is a lot of fun, you know? So, yeah, I just had a moment like that where we had like one show in a week and it'd been a while since I'd done that performance, you know? But then when I was doing it, I was like, oh, this is great. Oh, man, I'm going to try new things. Woo, let's just see what happens.
I mean, the time is just so weird right now. I just feel like we've been in this, I don't know, like holding pattern for months and months and months of just kind of like waiting things out. And while I acknowledge the passage of time because I see it in the kids and I know that like a year has happened, it also kind of feels like like where I'm waking up a little bit from some kind of really messed up situation. So I don't know, it's just like I'm happy, but it's things are still a little weird, and I don't know when that's gonna like feel better. But I think it'll be nice to be back in our space. So
can I blow your mind for a second?
Oh yeah. Blow my mind.
No, it's not at all. I was just thinking, you know, streaming is gonna continue to be a thing. Right now, everybody's kind of like done with streaming, especially kids. They're just like, I just want to run around outside in the dirt, please. And that's what's going to happen this summer also, is as restrictions get loosened, there's going to be outdoor shows and people are going to eventually want to go back in the theater. But right now, this summer, it's just going to be people playing outside and feeling good because they've been vaccinated. And, you know, we're still wearing masks and stuff. But anyway, so there are kids, including our youngest, who are going to grow up feeling like this is what school is. You know, school is, yeah, we could stream school sometimes, like live stream on like a TV, or like, oh yeah, like occasionally somebody else will like come in, or we'll have to stay home from school one day and just, you know, that it'll be streaming school that day. I feel like that's such a different scenario than what we had to deal with as kids. It's just a totally like a generational thing.
So you think that instead of having a snow day, that they're going to have streaming school?
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know about that, because the teachers would have to be prepared to have, you know, a virtual lesson. And sometimes you're just not prepared.
I feel like the teachers who were employed the last year have those lessons. And if they're still employed this year, it's just going to be a thing. Be like, well, guys, it's a snow day. All right. What do you got? What were you going to do? Okay. Let's like make that virtual.
I don't know. There I don't think that that's what's going to happen. Honestly, I would be surprised, because it means that there needs to be continued levels of equity and accessibility for everyone to be able to participate. And even now, it's still an issue. People still don't have the tools that they need to be able to go to school. So, but what I do think will continue to be more and more a thing is virtual visits in classrooms, that your classroom can have a virtual visit to the Monterey Bay Aquarium with somebody at the aquarium, or that your school can have access to this thing for a week. And because all of the classrooms have, or so many do, the smart board technology, they're wired for internet, they utilize it in different ways. So I think that that's something that will stay and is much more widely accepted now than it was before. And that there are, like, my guess is that we will likely continue to do virtual performances in some capacity, and that we will continue to offer that as an option.
Mm-hmm.
For people, because I think also that especially for young, really young kids, there's family all over the country, so they might have two parties, one online and one in person, you mm-hmm. know. So I can see that being a thing that could happen. So we'll see, but you know, we're kind of figuring it all out, just like everybody else, right. Continuing to do that.
So speaking of figuring it all out.
Yes.
So right now, New York City theaters can be back open as of, I think, like a week and a half ago, but only at 33% capacity. You can have up to 100 people indoors or 200 people outdoors. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I mean... I'm happy that at least they're trying to get people to be able to present their work, and that people want, hopefully, to go to see things. I just don't know, because I feel like I got really scared in all of this, and then we stuck it out for 3 months in New York City, and then I decided that I wanted to go out here and hide. And so, fight or flight, and I flew, and convinced you that that's what we should do. and so, I don't know that I can answer that yet, because I need to be right with myself,
mm-hmm.
About feeling comfortable just being there. Like, I was trying to think to myself, like, well, if I'm fully vaccinated and it's been 2 weeks since I got the second dose, I should be able to ride the subway with a mask and feel okay about that if I'm just myself. I don't think I'd feel okay bringing the kids onto the subway yet because they're not vaccinated, but I could ride the subway,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, I mean, these are some of the things that I'm having to figure out the answers to. I don't know. How do you feel about that, Chad? It sounds like that's a question you should be answering.
Well, no, I feel like you're right on the money, and that, like, people are like, well, we, like, nobody forgot about theater for a year, but I feel like we haven't been in theaters for a year.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be it's part of a big effort to get people back into theaters. I mean, Broadway is such a huge industry. There's millions and millions of dollars to be made that aren't being made right now. So I feel like, you know, you always got to kind of follow the money, you know, to see where things are going and or how things are going to happen. For the theaters that we play in, which is kind of like the opposite of those, you know, huge Broadway, you know, $1,000 ticket houses, you know, it's a struggle, but most of them have survived, you know, yeah. not all, but most. And we'll see. I mean, one of the reasons I'm super excited is we get to be a part of going back and making it happen again, and mm-hmm. not like dragging people into theaters once again, but kind of like enticing and being like, hey, remember this totally unique art form that is not, you know, it's different when you see it through your screens, as cool as it is to watch Hamilton on Disney Plus, you know, it's way different to see an actor up on stage or a puppeteer or something right in front of you that can react to you. You know, mm-hmm. like the energy that the audience gives to a performer, like the back and forth, you know, the feeling of that is totally unique, and it's not going anywhere anytime soon. So I really look forward to that. And I feel like the first time that somebody goes back into a space like that
mm-hmm.
will be a very unique feeling for them. Mm-hmm. But then I feel like once you've done it once, then we're gonna, you know, then it'll be so easy just to come back, you know.
Absolutely. So, yeah. So I agree with that.
Let's make those discount offers at the end of every indoor performance and be like, hey, wasn't that great, guys? All right, now you can get 20% off this pack of 5 shows, right? Come on back, right? Dixon Place is always good about that, you know.
Well, I will say one thing I'm looking forward to is I'm going to do some more self-investing in my voice. And so I haven't totally figured out the roadmap for that yet, but that's going to be something that I am doing. So I'm committing to it. I'm saying it publicly out loud. I'm going to do more stuff with my voice because that's been an area that I keep kind of finding work in. So I think I'm getting the message that maybe I should, you know, focus on that a little bit.
Yeah, maybe you could play a bit part in some children's cartoon someday.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But, it was never an area that I was encouraged in, overly encouraged in. I just kind of went to puppetry because it was like a mix of, I mean, I didn't kind of just go to puppetry, but I always liked puppets, but then it all made sense to me because it was a mix of all the things that I loved, acting and performing and singing and building and crafts and all the things. So, it's interesting to think about. So I will let you guys know how that goes. Maybe I'll make a demo reel or something. I don't know. Maybe I'll be like talking about, you know, buying a coat at Burlington Coat Factory. I'm interested to learn more and to maybe try that as an area of that I might do more in.
Yeah, that could be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe little jingles.
And I'm seeing in chats, so Tad is saying that there's only a few riders on the 7 train flushing in the middle of the day. I would say that's pretty typical outside of like rush hour. But yeah, there's going to be less people on the subway, less people in theaters, less people in places. And the people that you do see inside places like public transit are going to be those people.
I don't know. I'm not even going to predict that because I want to see what it feels like when we get back. Because what I have kind of heard is that, you know, from at least our friends who live in Astoria, is a lot of times like things kind of feel the same.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we don't live in necessarily like a really high end neighborhood. So maybe it's the more high end neighborhoods that feel a little bit more empty. But I just don't know.
I don't know. We'll see. We have some news, by the way.
What's our news?
Here's some news.
News.
We are going to have an apprentice this summer, at least one. We have offered our apprentice/internship program for, this is our third year that it's been open.
Mm-hmm.
the first time we had two amazing up and coming college students who needed internship credit, and we're like, yeah, absolutely. And so we brought them to puppet shows, mm-hmm. and we brought them into our place to teach them kind of like a puppet 101 course. And I feel like they both, for wherever they go from here, mm-hmm. they will know good puppetry. They will have skills. They'll have seen stuff, mm-hmm. and been a part of something for a couple months in the summer. And we continue to offer this. So if you're out there, if you know anybody who might be interested in an internship, or if you're already a puppeteer, like an apprenticeship, if you want to learn hand puppets or tabletop, that's what we do.
That's what we specialize in.
That's what we specialize in. And that's what we can offer. We already have one. I feel like two-ish is like our general limit
there's two of us. We have two kids. We like the number two.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. we're going to have more time this summer, but I'm looking forward to focusing and being a part of somebody's education for a couple months. So one apprentice down, maybe another slot open, quite possibly. Who knows? You know, mm-hmm. I'm also happy with just one because it's a lot of work on our end.
Well, also, if you know any artists of color who are interested in learning puppetry, we're really interested in making sure we uplift that community. And So if you somebody that's already into theater but they've never tried their hand at puppetry, send them our way, because I would love to be able to teach them puppets. And I can teach them both hand puppetry, tabletop puppetry, but also some TV puppetry too. So just the basics.
But you already teach. This lady teaches adults all the time. Do you have any more public sessions coming up?
Not yet, but as the Kennedy Center VSA contract starts to wind down, then we're going to start looking to when we're going to program more sessions. Maybe a session for parents and some sessions in the fall for teachers and educators again. So we're looking to do that, to do some more of that.
Cool.
Yeah, but it's just been busy. So much going on. But actually, it's the time where I need to go make pizza.
Oh, right.
Because it's Sunday, and okay. I've been making pizza on Sundays. So, like, literally, I make pizza dough, and we have a pizza stone, and then I, at the beginning of the pandemic, I made it my mission that by the end of the pandemic, I would be able to make really, really good pizza. And I feel like I've achieved it.
It only took her one session, ladies and gentlemen, to make really good pizza.
No.
And she's dabbled, you know, from like okay, this is like very good to like, oh, this is like reasonably fine. But it was always excellent.
Oh, you're very kind.
It's true. I feel like we can't eat like regular New York City pizza when we get back.
Oh, yes, we can.
Because our kids... Because our kids won't eat the crust of any other pizza except yours.
Well.
Because yours is so nice.
Thanks. So it's fun. I enjoy doing it, and yeah, it always comes out well, and then we have leftovers for a couple of days that everybody likes, so.
Yeah.
Cool. So I have to go make the pizza or else the dough is going to start ballooning over, and we have to make the dough rise in our bedroom on top of the bed because it's the warmest spot during the daytime.
I feel like the dough and the cat are in competition for that spot on the bed.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
Okay, so thank you so much for listening, everybody. We are the Puppet Parent Podcast. You can listen to our archives anywhere you get your MP3s. We're on all kinds of things, including Spotify, and I forget the list. But if you want to see all the places we are at, or download the MP3s or the RSS file if you want that, head over to puppetparentpodcast.com. We're also, the archives are on our Facebook page at facebook.com/wondersparkpuppets or at youtube.com/nycpuppets. There's also all kinds of things there. You should definitely subscribe to either or. We put out content all the time, not like weekly or daily like we did earlier in the pandemic, let's say. Thanks. And shout out to everybody who was during this live session over in chat. Yeah, we love you guys. We will see you next time.
Yeah.
I know you got to go. We will be recording on a Sunday sometime in the future. Sorry we've been so inconsistent, but that's life, baby. But we will definitely see you next time. Okay.
So I'm Z.
I'm Chad.
And this is the Puppet Parent Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you all soon.
Bye.